How many can say it's well with your soul this morning? I'd like you to take God's word to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 this morning. I love our local church, don't you? I'm already thankful for what the Lord's done this morning in our church, the Sunday school hour, back in our class, just a good time with our people. And I'm thankful for our choir. Do you know why I preach? You say you have to. No. I preach because I want to. I'm called, yes. Constrained, yes. And woe is unto me if I don't, yes. But I preach because I want to. Do you know why I sing? Even when nobody wants me to. Can't help it. I just want to, don't you? What a joy to be a child of God. What a joy to serve without constraint, to serve because of God's grace in our lives. He's so good. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. This is selected from our daily reading this week. And I believe it speaks to where we are this morning. I'll speak, God willing, from 1 Chronicles 29 tonight in our evening meeting. Taking care of what takes care of us. But the Lord spoke to my heart, as He often does, yesterday morning as I was reading this passage. I planned on preaching from John 8 this morning, about Christ's compassion to the adulterous lady, how He changed her life forever because He had compassion on someone who was condemned. And isn't that how God changes our heart and life? We know we deserve death. We know we deserve hell, but God in heaven has mercy on us, and we become endeared to Him, and we love Him for who He is. But as I read this yesterday morning, the Lord spoke to my heart. I jotted down several things that I want to share with you this morning from 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Let me give you the context, and then we'll read verse 20 together. The context of 1 Chronicles 28 is that David is fixing to die, and his son Solomon is fixing to be made king over all of Israel. What David got by gift from God, and then years of sacrifice and toil, what has been built, a whole nation, a strong nation, a healthy nation, is fixing to be handed to a very young man. And one of the things that is on the agenda as soon as Solomon takes over is the building of the temple of God Almighty. David had laid aside much of his own personal wealth, gold, silver, precious stones, for the financing and the building of the temple of God. I don't know about you, but I think it's a big deal in a local church to be trusted with a Sunday school class. It's a major responsibility. I think it's a big deal to be entrusted with being able to stand in front of an assembly of believers and singing in the choir. I believe it's a big deal for someone to sing a special in a local New Testament church, to bring a message in a local New Testament church. I can't imagine being a young man and God in heaven entrusting the care and the leadership of an entire nation in my hands. And as soon as I take over, the most important building project in the history of our nation is to commence. I would say that that would be a pretty big deal, slightly daunting, and if I'm an average young man, I would be kind of concerned I couldn't do it. How many of y'all have ever run a whole nation before? How many of y'all have ever organized a major building project? How about never ruling before, never being a project manager before, Your dad that has provided stability for the nation is about to die, and you are going to be left at the helm of the nation. I'd say I'd need God in heaven to step in pretty quick, wouldn't you? I want you to listen, if you would please, at the words of David, to the words of Solomon as he charges his son concerning the challenge that lays ahead of him. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage, and what, church? Do it. Take over. Lead. Feed God's people. Take the temple. Build it. Be strong and of a good courage. And do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Isn't that one of the most often repeated commands in all of the Scripture? Fear not. Be dismayed. Don't be dismayed. The challenge is great, but God is greater. The Christian life is always learning to lean on the strength of Christ who's in you. What God has called us to deal with and what God has called us to do, the challenges that God has called us to face, are greater than our capacity, but they are not greater than our Christ. Be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Now, how can he be strong and of good courage? How can he not fear nor be dismayed? Here's how. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast, what's the next word, church? Finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I want you to notice that word, finished. I'd like to speak just this morning, just for a few moments, on that one single word, finished. And what God put in my heart is this. Every one of us, at the end of our final day, when we draw our last breath, should desire at that moment in time, in our own heart and mind, to say, I finished what God gave me to do. I'm done. I finished what God gave me to do. I think of the Lord meeting with Joshua before the conquest of Canaan. Three times he states to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous. And the Lord backs up that charge. The Lord backs up that command, and he says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I'm leading you into the promised land. Every battle you face, we will fight and win together. Every challenge you come to, we will cross together. There is nothing that will overtake you. There is nothing that will overcome you. Though the odds are stacked against you, I am at your side. I will give you aid, and I will enable you to finish what I've asked you to do. I think about our Lord's word in relation to discipleship in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. The Lord is teaching his disciples about taking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following him. And then he gives the analogy. He said, for which of you set out to buy or to build a tower, and you don't first sit down and count the cost to make sure you've got the money, to make sure that you've got the manpower? And three times our Lord uses this phrase, to finish it, to finish it, to finish it. You know what he was saying to his disciples? If you're going to make a choice to follow me,
You should make up your mind the moment that you make the choice to follow me, that you're going to take up your cross, you're going to deny yourself, you're going to put your hand to the plow, you're going to look unto me, and you're going to trust in me. You're not going to look back to the world. And though you may wobble in your steps, and sometimes you may turn aside, it should be settled in your heart today that you're going to finish the Christian race. You're going to finish the Christian journey. You are going to finish as my disciple. Today, it should be in our heart to finish walking with God, to walk with God today, to walk with God tomorrow, next week, and the month thereafter. And at the end of our day, say that we have finished what God has called us to do. I'm reminded of what my Savior said in Luke 19:30 when he was on the cross dying on behalf of every one of us. Right before he drew his last breath, the final thing he said was, "It is finished." What God sent me here to be, what God sent me here to do, I have done, I have completed, it is accomplished, it is finished. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, as he wrote to Timothy before he passed. Paul said, "I have finished the course that God set for me." And I want to say to you this morning, we're real good at starting, but we're not as good as with finishing. And today, if you're saved, it should be your desire to go all the way with the Lord, for all the way my Savior leads me. Today, if you've decided to follow Jesus, don't turn back, don't look back, and know everything that's going to come in your path, everything that's going to come in your way is no match for our God. There's no challenge greater than Him. There's no problem greater than Him. There's no trial or trouble greater than Him. Our God will help us finish the Christian life and the Christian journey. I know this morning that you and I need to finish what God in heaven has started in our lives. Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it in the day of Jesus Christ." What God started, what God's begun, He's not done. He's not done till He puts you in a casket, or He's not done till He brings you home through the rapture of the church. Until then, we have a Savior to serve. We've got a church to labor in. We've got a work to do. You say, "Brother Justin, don't you know it's holiday weekend? Why are you in here trying to rev us up?" I'll tell you why. Because God in heaven spoke to my heart yesterday morning. He reminded me of all the cares that I face and deal with, and all the problems, and all the people that are turning aside and losing heart for God. God reminded me that we can finish what He started because He's with us. There's no need to turn aside. There's no need to turn back. We simply need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and finish the work God's called us to do. Finish. If we're going to face the challenges ahead of us and finish the course set forth for us, verse 28, 1 Chronicles 20, fear must be addressed. You're going to have to address your fear. Verse 28, David says to Solomon, verse 20 of chapter 28, "Be strong and of a good courage and do it." What's the next words, church? Fear not. Fear not. If we're going to face the challenges ahead of us and finish the course set forth for us, we must address our fears. Fear is like an elephant that's always in the room, silencing our faith talk. We'll start talking about doing something with God that's above all of our capacity, and fear will say, "You can't do that." Fear is like an elephant in the room that silences faith talk, squashes faith dreams, and always reminds us that we can't and we never could. We're not and we never will be. I want to tell you, today, who we are has more to do with who Christ is than it does with who we are. How we are has more to do with how Christ is than how we are. Christ is our sufficiency this morning. Fear must be addressed. If I'm to be brutally honest with you, most of us are intimidated by simply walking with God Almighty. The reason progressions of faith don't occur is because we look at the Christian life and we say, we will never live up to that standard. We can't be that holy. Do you know that's actually the truth? You can't be. You can't be that righteous. You can't be that holy. You can't be that strong. You can't be that wise. You can't be any of that. And the whole point of the Christian life is for us to realize who we're not and who He is. The whole point of the Christian life is to realize what we can't do but what He can do. The Christian life is not letting me show out on Jesus' behalf. The Christian life is letting Jesus show out on my behalf. It's not my wisdom, it's His wisdom. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. He's my redemption. He's my sanctification. I didn't get myself saved. God graciously saved me. I don't keep myself faithful. I got a God, when I believe not, abided faithful. And today, it's not about who we are, it's who He is. It's not about what we can do. It's about what He has done and will do. Fear must be addressed if we're to walk faithfully with God today. You say, I'm afraid I can't walk with God. Join the rest of the crowd. We need God today, don't we? Very quickly, will you take your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1? David said to Solomon, you will finish because of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, sorry, verse 7. How many of you want to finish the Christian life today? How many of you want to finish it on the right side, doing what God in heaven has called you to be and do? I know you know this verse, but I wanted us to look at it together. I could have quoted it, but I wanted us to look at it together. I wanted to ask you a question. I wanted you to think about it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God... Are y'all with me? For God hath not given us the spirit of what? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what, church? Power and of a... Now, can I ask you a question? If God in heaven doesn't give us the spirit of fear, who does? Who does? Where does that anxiety come from? You say, oh, Brother Justin, you're trying to be our shrink? Nope, just your pastor. And not everything's always a mind problem. Sometimes it is a spiritual problem. I can tell you without getting too kooky or too crazy, if you'll bear with me just for a moment, every now and then, my wife will open up unto me and she'll say, I'm having awful thoughts of fear. I return the favor because almost every single time, Red, when she says that to me, it's been going on weeks with me prior to her. You know what I figured out a long time ago? I'm not getting too kooky, don't get too crazy, but I believe Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I absolutely believe that there are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and you better believe, I believe the wicked one blows by every now and then, sends one of his emissaries, and I believe he camps out, and I believe he fires and hurls darts of fear in your mind to cripple your faith, to tell you you have not, and you never will be, to tell you you cannot, and you never will. And I just want you to know this morning, glory, if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to finish our course with joy, if we're going to do what God has called us to do, we are going to have to address our fears somewhere somewhere along the line, you're going to have to say, God has not given me this spirit of fear. God has given me the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And make up your mind that the great terrorist of old, the liar who abode not in the truth from the beginning, will not have the victory in your life. But Christ that purchased our victory, who leads us safely home and all the way in between, we're going to yield to Him this morning and follow Him today. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20, if you'll go back there, if we're going to face the challenges ahead of us and finish the course set forth for us, fear must be addressed. Secondly, verse 28, facts must be assessed. Would y'all write that down, please? Facts must be assessed. By the way, the best way to combat a worry is with reality. And most of the time, worry is not reality. It's an inflection of what we think is reality. It never happens. It never comes to pass. How many times I've sat back, it's like, Justin, get out of the cycle. Somebody say amen. You get done. It's like, once again, you were faithful. Is that a surprise? Is that a surprise? Once again, my dilemma, though it was with me for months, and it pushed me and it pressed me to you, and I had to humble myself and acknowledge, God, I don't know how to do this. I can't do that. What am I supposed to do with this? Am I surprised at any wonder that a God who cannot help but be who He is, faithful to the nth degree, comes through time and time and time again? You say yes, but He's not going to come through this time. How do you know that? Because He's always come through. You're here today because God has come through. You'll be here tomorrow because God will come through. The facts must be assessed. You say, what's the facts? Very simple. Number one, we have God's great power with us. God said, verse 20, I will not fail thee. How can I build this temple? How can I become king of this great nation? I, says God, will not fail thee. Have you ever been on a losing team? You're fortunate, because it stinks. But you watch a losing team. They all know they don't have what it takes to win. But the one person on the team that can catch, that can throw, that can run, that can bat, they will all flock to him and rally to him, because they know if they can get on his back, glory to God, son, I'm telling you, they know that he will lift all of them. What they're not, they know he is. They know that the superstar will cause the whole ship to rise. And I just want to remind you, somehow, some way, in the infinite wisdom of our God, it pleased him to choose the foolishness of the world. He's built his church a band of misfits. And we recognize today we were lost and alone without God and his son until Jesus saved us. We understand we're not the superlatives of society. What is amazing today is I don't think we can do God's will because of us. I think we can do God's will because of God. Here's the facts. We got problems we can't solve, challenges we can't conquer, but we got a God that won't stop, and we've got a God who can't fail. He said, my great power's with you. There's no river you can't cross. There's no mountain you can't climb. There's no miracle can't be supplied. I'm God of very God. I am that I am. I still am, and I'll take care of your need, glory to God.
Amen.
We'll not fail thee. Amen. So yesterday, before I left out to come meet a couple of our guys over here, God had done wound my clock. Because here's what happens when nobody's around. It's me, God, and the devil. My flesh loves the devil. Just listens to him. And I start thinking about raising children. I heard a pastor years ago say publicly in a meeting,
pray that the rapture takes place before my daughters become teenagers. I laughed. I thought, boy, he's odd. I want to go on record this morning as saying, Lord, let the rapture take place before all my kids become teenagers.
Amen.
Hey, listen, if I knew we could send them out into society and they see a decent definition of what a human being is, I wouldn't be so concerned. And I know y'all are probably going to think, well, he hits on this stuff all the time. It's okay. You need to hear it. You ain't going to hear it from CNN. You're not going to hear it from half the news networks. You're probably not going to hear it from any secular institution. So somebody, upon the authority of God's word, not his own word, needs to stand up and needs to speak and say, hey, don't forget that we are who we are because God made us who we are. Somebody say amen. I'm concerned that my kids don't have a good role model for what a husband and wife is if me and my wife doesn't model what a husband and wife is, what a mom and a dad is. And I just believe today that the challenge wouldn't be so great rearing children in our society, our civilization, and our culture if our culture was still reminiscent of or reflective of who God is and what God has done for this great nation. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm no different than Noah. And if God in heaven can preserve Noah, and God in heaven can preserve his wife, and God in heaven can preserve his kids when the whole world had corrupted it before God in heaven's son, I'm about to shout, preach, and help somebody say amen. I'm just believing this morning that my God who called me to follow him as a six-year-old boy, my God who called me to preach his word, my God who's called me to place, be inside of a pastor and serve him and serve his people, I have just got reason to believe because of his great power, I can take the next step. I can make the next trip. My God will not fail me until he buries me or calls me home. If I look to him, if I lean on him, if I listen to him, I'm convinced I can finish and so can you. Somebody say amen. Let's get to the facts of the matter this morning. God's great power is with us. And he will not fail us. Let's get to the facts this morning. God's guiding presence is with us. And he will not forsake us. You say, what does that mean? That means he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words, with heavenly comfort fraught. How many times I gather at the feet of Emmanuel, and I say, I don't know the way. And he says, I am the way. You don't need to know where you're going to put your next step. Follow me. Follow me. I will follow. 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 Anywhere. Everywhere. I will follow on. If we're going to face challenges ahead of us and finish the course set for us, fear must be addressed. Fear not. Facts must be assessed. I will not fail thee. We have God's great power. I will not forsake thee until thou hast finished. We've got God's guiding presence. How many of y'all believe today we can finish the Christian journey? We can finish the Christian race. God took a tender young boy and he put him at the helm of a nation. You say, how can God take a tender young boy and put him at the helm of a nation? Can I have your attention just for a moment? Because he is so bigger than you can comprehend. He is so bigger than I can comprehend. You see, Brother Justin, you believe God built our academic abilities and our mental powers so that we could build spaceships to fly to the moon and nuclear warheads to destroy cities and nations? No, I believe God gave us the intellectual capacity that he did for us to know him. And I believe the reason that the CPU called the brain can't be fully replicated is because God gave us that ability to know him. You say, oh, but Justin, we know him in our heart. Yes, we do, but it's an amazing thing. The facts of faith
pass through our head before they ever hit our heart. And God made our mind so that it could stretch out there and try to wrap our mind around the God who stretched out heaven. And you know, it's big and great. I often quote that verse signed under my name. God set my path in a good path years ago, Ephesians 3:20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I'm able to ask or think. And every time I think that, God, I'm able to ask some pretty big stuff. I'm able to think some pretty big stuff. And God in heaven says, isn't that amazing? You can be a big asker and you can be a big thinker and it still ain't going to be as big as I am. I'm greater, Solomon. You can build a temple because I'm God. Solomon, you can lead a nation because I'm God. You see, here's the crisis of every Christian. You got to figure out that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't and you never could. It's Christ in you. And it's about learning to lean that you might follow his lead. How many of y'all women? I'll never be holy enough. No, you won't. No, you won't. But he's holy. You couldn't save yourself, so he saved you. You couldn't be righteous enough to make him love you, so he who was perfect righteousness came and gave his life for you so he could give you his righteousness. And God loved you perfectly. If we're to finish our course, finish what God's given us to do, fear must be addressed. Facts must be assessed. Listen, finally, lastly, faith must be applied. I'm done. Faith must be applied. I don't know if there's anybody here this morning to say, I believe God. I'm scared to death, but I believe God. You see, Solomon had to take what he heard in that charge, and then he had to believe it. And do you know how I know he believed it? Because when you turn over to 2 Chronicles, you're going to find out two times God visited him. And do you know what he asked for when God came to him? He said, oh God, we're going to need money. Give us money so I can run this great nation. Nope, it's not what he said. I believe he remembered the charge of his dying daddy who said, God's with you, son. He'll not fail you. God's with you, son. He'll not forsake you. God's with you, son. Fear not. God's with you, son. Finish the work. And when Solomon met God himself and God said, I'm here for you, what can I do for you? Solomon thinks as a young and tender boy, well, I don't know how to build a temple, but I've been charged to build one. I don't know how to lead a nation, but I've been charged to lead one. God, my daddy said you'd be with me. My daddy said you wouldn't fail me. My daddy said I didn't have to fear because of you. And since you're talking to me now, I want to ask something from you that I know that you got that I desperately need so I can build this temple and I can lead this nation. God said, what's that? Lord, I need wisdom to go out and come in among your people. I need a wise and an understanding heart to be the man that you said I can be. God says, is that what you want? Yeah, that's what I want. I'm going to give you that. And I'm going to give you a name like no other king on the planet. You going to make me a great name? Yeah. By the way, we're still talking about Solomon's temple. There's been many earthly kings risen to power and have come and gone, and the world's forgot them. But we still to this day talk about Solomon's temple. I'm going to give you a name greater than the name of any of the kings there. I'm not done. I'm going to give you wealth. I didn't ask for wealth. No, you asked for what you asked for what you needed. I'm giving you what I want to give you now.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Don't need to act unreserved among you fine folk this morning. I'm going to give you, do you know, oh, bless the Lord. This morning, fear must be addressed, facts must be assessed, faith must be applied if we're going to face the challenges ahead of us and finish the course set forth for us. Like Abraham of old,
who hoped against hope and had strong faith giving glory to God. So you and I can trust in the Lord and finish all that he has for us. Is the challenge great? Yes, but God is greater. Is the task tough? Yes, but God is greater. I close in simply talking to you. We open the altars, and I'm going to invite anybody who needs help to come to the Lord this morning. The things that create great fear for me might not bother you at all. But I've been charged with the responsibility of raising a family in the 21st century. Can I have your attention, please? This is my standard for raising my family. Brother Jeff, this is my family. This is what shapes my faith to lead my family. I know as soon as I say that, that the majority of the people that call Christ their Savior and call themselves Christians don't know this book and are going to mock me for ordering my household after this book. You say, oh no, preacher, it ain't so. Oh, it is absolutely so. The second thing God has charged me with in my life is to be an overseer in the local assembly of the New Testament church. You say, I want that job. It's a good one if God calls you to it. If God ain't called you to it, you go in tomorrow and you go on Tuesday and you punch the clock and thank God you're working in a factory or wherever. Listen carefully. I made up my mind. God helped me to keep my mind made up that I am, as an overseer, going to order our church after this book. He said, oh, Brother Justin, don't you worry about that. That'll be celebrated in the household of faith. Don't kid yourself. Most pastors resign not because the liquor crowd in town's mad at him, because the emails never stop inside his own church. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? We don't like this. We don't like that. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because by and large, pastors are stuck in front of congregations that don't have a clue what this book says. Don't get quiet. You should only get quiet if it ain't true. As long as it is true, we should all be honest if we're going to get help. They're ignorant of this book, and they're ignorant of the God who inspired it for us to live by. And they're called to get in front of it. And either you're going to be a people pleaser or a God preacher. You're going to make up your mind. And so you better believe on more than one day or the other, I got more fears than I can see through. Not because of any person in this room has caused them, but because of my mind, what I know, and the problems we deal with in this world. Are y'all with me? If you're a guest or a faithful member of our church, let me go on record as saying, I have preached with absolute liberty the Word of God in the 2.5 years I've been here. And I would say, Brother Doug, as long as the Word's rightly divided, the Word has been absolutely celebrated by our congregation. I say that to God's credit and glory. But you better believe there's many pastors who don't have that same thing I just stated. And I know we're going to catch flack. Here's the reality. By God's grace, I want to have an I don't care attitude about the devil and what he wants. I want to order my home after this book, and I want our church's order to be set by God's word. And believe today that God in heaven will be faithful. He'll honor his word. Every problem we come up to, every challenge we face, every step we need to make, I just believe God in heaven is with us. He'll not fail us. He will not forsake us. And he'll lead us safely home. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's have our musicians come. Here's a sad thing. God is doing so much in our church, but He wants to do it in your own heart. Not just in us in general. I truly believe that there's not an individual in this church this morning that God in heaven doesn't want to work in their heart and life. He wants to work in your marriage. He wants to work in your home. But you and I have to get in the place where we can hear His charge. Finish. Address your fears. Assess the facts. Apply faith. Finish. With no one looking around, I want to ask you this morning, do you think the message was sent for you today? If it was, you've heard the testimony, the songs, the message, and God is here present with us. If you believe that God spoke to your heart today, I want to ask you to leave your place and come to the altar and do business with the Lord. Brother Eddie, what do we have?
385.
As you lift your head and we sing,